So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I just know that the Borg is like a bunch of law students.
That's a great comparison. Join us as I show Elizabeth episodes of Star Trek that I love and she has no context for, as I try to slowly indoctrinate her into the world of moral dilemmas, anonymous readings, and good old-fashioned holodeck time. Elizabeth, are you ready?
I sure fucking am.
So I'm super excited. We just came off of our episode last week because you were busy being a good law student. So I had my friend Morgan on the podcast, and I hope people enjoyed that because I love Morgan there. Super duper fun. But I'm excited to get back, and that just means that we're not going to watch Voyager.
Okay.
We're gonna watch something else. We're going to watch Strange New Worlds, which you liked Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds. Is this the one with not Data? This has the Ferengi? Nope. This has Data. Nope. Neither of them. Oh, God. Which one's this one again?
So Strange New Worlds is one of the newer ones that you really liked the last episode.
Oh, this is the one that really has Nurse Chapel, the hot Nurse Chapel.
Yes, hot Nurse Chapel is in this one.
Okay, cool.
So since it's been a while, because we also, we recorded our episodes quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Like it's been a minute. Life has been lifing. But it's funny, because the last time we recorded, I was sick. And this time, I'm also sick. So really, nothing has changed to our viewers, which is hilarious to me.
It's basically the same. Everything's basically the same. We're both completely overwhelmed with life, and sickness and plague just haunts us at every corner.
I mean, it really, truly does. Mask up, people. I don't know.
Yeah,
that'd be a good idea.
Here's the thing. I really appreciate even when you're sick with a normal cold, just maybe wear a mask. That's one thing I've appreciated about law school is that at least at the law school I go to, people wear masks when they're sick, or at least most of them. And I'm like, honestly, you should have been doing that before because it's nasty. Don't cough on me.
No, I've been wearing a mask. I stopped because I got a little better. A lot better, actually. But I was wearing a mask to my acting school, which really should be a necessity when you're sick because we are doing some crazy weird shit
that all up close,
rolling around on the floor and just doing crazy stuff. So yeah, and honestly, it's never a bad idea to mask up, I think, now, especially as a sickling. I was like, this is a good idea for everybody else.
Yeah, here's the thing, right? Ideal situation, stay home. But if you can't, because we live in a capitalist society, wear a mask.
That's so true.
Protect yourself, protect others, even if it's a cold. No one, wants to get a cold.
And also, I don't know, I liked wearing a mask when I was sick, especially when I was, on the subway and, using public transit, because I was like, I have a mask. If I cough, sorry. I'm doing what I can.
Yeah. It's also just nice to feel a little bit protected from the germs around us.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
People are really gross, just in general.
Yes. So, humans be humaning. I don't know.
Humans be humaning and life be lifing. So
I'm just recently so sick. Being a human is fucking nasty.
It really is.
Absolutely disgusting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
So you were away being a good law student. So we're going to come back. We're going to come in hot with, you were being a good law student. Don't pretend you weren't.
Yeah, I know. I sure do try.
Give yourself more credit.
That's what my therapist tells me too.
As they should. Listen to your
therapist. Also, another one, PSA, if you can, get a therapist. They're incredible.
I think everybody should go to therapy just because it's just a good idea.
It's one of those things that, like, you should probably just have it because you're a human. Like, being a human just automatically requires therapy.
It's just nice no matter what. Like, yeah, go to therapy if you're experiencing some sort of mental health problem. Therapy just to have a third party help you deal with things. Because also just being a human is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Being a human is gross and it can be hard.
Yeah, there's the moral of this episode. Humaning is exhausting and hard and yucky.
So. Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds.
What characters do you remember from Strange New Worlds?
I remember Nurse Chapel.
Yes.
And Nurse Chapel. And was there another doctor?
Same person twice. Yes, there is another doctor. Do you remember his name? It's kind of a tough one.
Was he the one that was, like, trying to protect his son in the force field thing?
His daughter, but yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I said, can't remember. Is this the one with another person in, like, a red uniform, maybe?
There's always red uniforms, Elizabeth.
Okay. What about a yellow uniform? There's a yellow uniform person.
There's always yellow uniforms. Do you need help? Do you have no idea?
I have no idea. It's so hard keeping track of all of the different worlds.
It's also, when I tell you it's been a while, I'm talking, like,
a while.
Early January is the last time we recorded.
Mm-hmm. And it's currently
the middle of February. So it has been a while.
I lose track of everything.
So we got Nurse Chapel.
Okay, we got Nurse Chapel.
We said Nurse Chapel twice because we're in love with her.
She's super important.
Can you hear the plane?
Yeah, it's a plane.
It's like a helicopter or something.
What the hell? We didn't invite it to be a guest on the podcast. It's barging.
Sorry, everybody. You're just going to have to deal with the fact that there's a helicopter flying above the place where I live right now.
Come on.
Anyway.
We didn't ask for that guest.
So, Nurse Chapel.
Nurse Chapel.
Do you remember the captain of this?
Sure don't.
Do you remember the starship that is in this
Enterprise.
One?
Are they on the Enterprise? Okay.
Enterprise. Okay, so we got Captain Pike.
That's who it is. Yep.
We've got number one, Una Chin Riley.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep. But they just call her number one.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got La'an.
Who's
the security officer who wears red with the braids?
Hair. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. We've got Ortegas, but Ortegas didn't play a big role in the last one we watched, so it's okay.
I don't remember who that is. I don't know who that is.
We've got Uhura.
Oh, yep. Okay. I remember Uhura.
We've got Spock.
Oh, and Spock. And then we've got, what's his name? Got the doctor that, No, he's not the doctor.
Dr. Mbanga.
Yep. And then who else? There's someone else.
Are you thinking of the engineer?
I might be. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the engineer?
No.
He hated the engineer, and I love him.
Who is the engineer again?
Hemmer.
Oh, my God. Not that fucker.
I love Hemmer.
Fucking Hemmer.
I love Hemmer so much.
Oh, no.
So, those are our cast of characters. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody, and if I am, sorry. But let's get out our timer.
Oh, unhinged prediction time with Elizabeth's mind.
Indeed. Tis time. The time we all wait for.
Oh, yeah, sure do. Alrighty, let's see here.
Sorry for my coughs, guys, but we can't get behind schedule.
We gotta do things while we're sick to feed the capitalist machine.
capitalist machine. We're not making any money off of this.
We're not. We're actually absolutely not. We are, in fact, probably losing money on this.
Honestly, yeah, but it's okay. Yeah. It's a good
time. It's fine. It's 1,000% worth it.
I agree.
Okay.
Also, here we go. Nobody has emailed us.
Well, like, you it's fine. Us.
I mean, don't know what you would email us, but you should. We plug our email at the end of the episode.
You can send us, like, pictures, like drawings. Well, again, well, I mean, appropriate. Please don't send us unsolicited things. Just feel free to do sketches.
Fan art. We like fan art.
Star Trek stuff is great. Also, if you want to ever draw a cartoon of my predictions, please feel free to do so. I would Honestly, I would love to
see them. I want to hear from you. But please be nice. I have anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. Just please don't be a dick or send pictures.
Please be nice to us. Either. We're just doing our best.
We're really not mean people. Please don't be mean to us. Anyways. But yeah, okay. Email us. Okay.
You have the timer.
I do have the timer.
For 4 minutes?
Yeah, it's for 4 minutes.
Prove it. Perfect. Okay. So, the episode we will be watching today, Elizabeth, from Strange New Worlds, is called Spock Amok.
All right, here we go. Okay, let's let that sit in the old noggin there for a second. Spock Amok. So here's my prediction. They are going to be traveling, the Enterprise, the crew of the Enterprise are going to be traveling to a planet that is just covered in mud. Ooh. It is just, it's just a mud planet. It's a swamp planet, if you will. But it's just mud. There aren't any trees. There's some bushes and such, but, you know, it's pretty much just a mud planet. And it's flat, except for vats of mud. But they're not too deep. Like an average size human could stand in them, and the mud would probably go up to their waist. So they're not too deep.
Okay.
Okay. So Spock decides that, you know, they're going to get down, they're going to land, they're going to explore and go, you know, check out this mud planet. And so Spock decides, okay, let me venture out first. He walks out, but they don't know that it's mud ahead of time. They just, you know, see brown, like, dirt stuff, and they don't realize it's mud. He steps out of the spaceship, and he steps right in a vat of mud, one of these, like, waist-deep piles of mud.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, ugh, muck. That's what he says. And he proceeds to throw mud all around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he throws a little bit of a hissy fit. Little does he know that the mud is a sentient being. And it has absorbed his specific DNA as he's touched it, because no one else has touched it yet. And slowly he can see out in the distance another mud pit, a mud man start to form. And that mud man slowly takes shape into another Spock. And all around him, he turns around and he sees another mud pit on another side of the planet. And that one is also growing and forming a mud Spock. And within a couple of minutes, he's looking all around himself, and all he sees are all these clones of himself made out of mud. And then I don't know what happens. He just, you know what he does? He descends into a panic attack because he's like, which one of these is the real me? Am I the real me? What is reality? He has a complete existential crisis while covered in mud, surrounded by mud versions of himself. And thus Spock descends into chaos. The end.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth, I'm going to tell you right now that you're wrong about this episode.
Mm.
But, and I hope to God that I have listeners out there who love Voyager, That is almost exactly a Voyager premise.
No way.
I swear to God. I just have to tell you about this because that was too perfect.
Okay.
And I don't think this is on our season watch list as of yet.
Okay. And if it is, I probably will have forgotten about it by the time we watch it.
You have ADHD. You'll forget. Don't worry. And I mean that with love, guys.
Oh, no, absolutely. I forget everything all the time.
There is this episode of Voyager in which Harry Kim and Tom Paris, the, like, two bro friends,
okay,
go down to a planet.
Oh, there's my timer.
Oh, perfect. Oh, you did it less than 4 minutes. Look at you. I know.
Look at that. That brain.
But so Tom and Harry go down to a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this silvery goo touches them.
Stop.
Okay. And then the silvery goo turns into them. Okay. And the clone versions of them go back to Voyager and start to die because they can't breathe the Voyager air because they have to breathe the air from the planet.
Oh my God.
But they, the clones, fully think that they're the real ones. They, like, don't know that they're clones until they go back. Like, literally what you just described is very similar of a premise to that Voyager episode that I think is called, is it Demon Planet? Something like that.
That's a great name for an episode, by the way. Demon Planet.
I agree. You are so wrong about this episode. However, I am.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's the same thing. And Spock is going to yell, "Ugh, muck."
All right.
So my super accurate prediction for a different episode.
That was crazy. Like, you don't understand how my brain is like, whoa.
Well, you looked like you were having when I started talking. Okay, viewers, or not viewers, listeners. That's the whole point, is you're not viewers. I watched Taylor's reaction as my prediction unfolded, and she looked like she was going to lose it.
I was. I almost cut you off. But anyway, Spock Amok.
Yep.
Is our episode today. I loved your prediction. That was amazing.
Thank you.
However, it is time for us to go watch and see what it is actually happening.
Nice.
So we will be right back. We're going to watch the episode Strange New World, Spock Amok. We will be back soon.
Okay.
All right. We are back from watching Spock Amok from Strange New Worlds. Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I thought it was awesome. Honestly, I really liked this episode. I love that it just opens on what looks like a cult meeting. That was my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see how Vulcans could be a little culty looking.
Yeah. Like the not Mortal Kombat, but the Combat by Death or
Alifi.
Yeah. Whatever they call it.
I think it was. I wrote it down. I took notes. Hold on.
It's like, okay. So when that happened,
it was for the first second,
I was like, shit, there's a cult meeting. And then all of a sudden, you see Spock, and I'm like, this is someone's dream. I knew it was a dream.
How did you know it was a dream based on just Spock?
I had a feeling that it was a dream.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just had a feeling it was going to be a dream because it started to get a little bit too, well, the setting itself seemed a little bit too not real, for Star Trek.
No, I understand that. And what you're saying makes sense. However, that was fully just Vulcan as a planet.
Oh, okay. Well, so then I just don't. Cool. So I just don't know enough about Star Trek to know that that was, like, totally normal.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I knew you wouldn't know what it was, so I knew that I would have to tell you, which is fine.
But then I love that suddenly I love the whole, like, Spock's human side having to fight his Vulcan side. That was super cool, honestly.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was engaged.
Yeah, that's something that you watched the recap at the start, right?
Oh, no, I actually missed that.
There was a whole little recap at the beginning.
I thought I was supposed to skip that because then it, like, lets me know what's going on with other episodes. No, I skipped that.
No. I, oh, no. Yeah, you should definitely watch that because just because they're in, like, in Strange New Worlds, and sometimes the 90s ones, but mm-hmm. in Strange New Worlds, there can be continuity that needs to be known.
Okay.
So they mentioned that in the beginning, but there wasn't a ton that you needed to know. I think it was just, like, for your information. So it's fine that you skipped it.
Okay. I will do that going forward, though. I'll make sure to watch them.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, Strange New Worlds is one of the only ones that does the recaps because it's newer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's okay. It's honestly, that was one of the only things you missed, is that, like, he's engaged and they're separated.
Well, not separated,
but they're, like...
Here's the thing. I totally thought that, like, I mean, and this is mostly informed, I think, by having watched the Chris Pine Star Trek movies. Mm-hmm. I totally thought he and Uhura are in a relationship.
Mm-mm. Not in this.
Okay.
I don't even know, just because I haven't seen the original series, I don't know if they even date during the original series.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that just, like, completely, like, canon divergent?
Yeah, that's why the movements, what the fuck? The movies, the, like, Chris Pine movies that you talk about, they're in a different, like, timeline / universe. Yeah. So it's, like, the same characters and stuff, but slight differentiations.
Okay.
To my knowledge, at least thus far in Strange New Worlds, because Strange New Worlds is, like, a precursor to the original series.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, yeah, Uhura and Spock are not together in Strange New Worlds. I don't even know if they ever get together in the original series at all. But I know that, like, Zoe Saldana and Zachary Quinto's, like, versions of Spock and Uhura are together, right? It's been a while since I've seen those movies.
Yeah, I think they have, like, I mean, it's been a while too, but I know they have some sort of, like, romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's so engaged.
I was like, cool. Pring. What's her name?
To Pring,
right. Who, I love her vibe. She's very.
Really?
I don't know. She's very confident. I like her.
I've never liked her.
Really? Okay. This is a lot of
something about T'Pring that I'm just like, eh.
It
has nothing to do with anything. Like it's not like I saw a prior episode before this episode.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's literally nothing. It's just a me thing that I'm just like, meh.
Well, maybe once I see her more, maybe I'll feel differently. But I at least liked her in this episode. I mean,
no, I don't think you will feel differently, because that's her vibe throughout. I'm telling you, it's just a personal Taylor opinion that I'm just, it's just me that I'm like, I just don't like her for literally no reason.
Although, okay, I was very confused about one thing, and this is probably, like, a larger Star Trek thing. The whole, like, Vulcan relationship thing, if they're supposed to be so, like, unemotional, then how can they be, like, in love?
You know what? I don't know. Well, it's not that they're...
Because I know it's not they're, like, obviously, like, devoid of feeling. It's not that. It's just that they're logical above everything else.
Yeah.
In some ways, when you think about relationships, like, there's some element of being in relationships, like, we're like romantic relationships, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's some level of it that, okay, it makes some logical sense. But there's also plenty of it that there's plenty of things about romantic relationships that make zero logical sense.
Yeah. You know, I was actually wondering the same thing while watching this episode. I was like, wait, the look on T'Pring's face right now is really emotional looking. Like,
yeah.
Hmm.
Well, so, and part of it too is, like, her response to, like, him being busy and, like, not being able to make it for dinner seems such an, like, again, I agree with her in a lot of ways. I also see Spock's point of view in that situation. But, like, mm-hmm. that in and of itself, that, like, kind of, I don't want to say outburst, but kind of, like, that situation that comes up, like, that seems like a very emotional situation.
Mm-hmm. But it's, like, one could make an argument that she, like, this has been happening for a while. So, like, one could make the argument that she was just getting to a logical point of, like, okay, buddy, that's fine. Because she didn't seem emotional about it.
That's true. Yeah.
It was very much like, this relationship is important, and if you can't prioritize it, then maybe we just don't fit. Like, it was very just like, that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing about like the Vulcan like romantic like love, I'm just like, this is just such a I feel like they're at odds with each other, but maybe, I don't know, maybe someone out there has a good explanation for why it works, but
email us.
Yeah, email us. Tell us your theories, or if you actually know something that we don't know.
If you actually know and we just don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't know. I know nothing, but
I don't. You know. It's like I know things about Vulcans and like the logic versus emotion and stuff, but yeah, I was a little not confused, but I was just like, T'Pring, you're being pretty emotional right now.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, maybe she wasn't, but I was just like, I would be in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, and no shade on her for being upset about her man not showing up for dinner. Like, I get it.
He said he would.
Yeah, he said he'd be there.
He said he'd be there, and he wasn't.
And he wasn't. So, the reason he wasn't,
yes.
Can we talk about the zebra people?
Oh my God, stop. I wrote down blue tiger people.
Literally, though. Literally. I'm like, they're like, they look like, you know, like they belong on the Sahara. Like in the Sahara.
Maybe not our Sahara, because they wouldn't camouflage well at all.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not. Like an alien planet, Sahara. Like, they need to be, like, some blue grasslands.
They were called the Rongovians, I believe, is what they were called. Yeah,
that sounds right. Also, who is Bob? Robert? They after the dream, they go, at the beginning of the episode, they pan to this conference room. It's, like, at the very beginning where Pike and Spock.
The guy.
Yeah. What's his name? Yeah, they call him Bob. But
yeah,
Robert something.
I don't actually know, because he's not like one of the main cast people.
What? So
it's just,
I like him.
No, he's really cool. He shows up a lot. He's like a recurring role.
He's a sexy black man. I like him.
he is a very sexy man.
Yeah, I was like, he's got sexy vibes. He's got his little bald head with his beard, and he's got, I don't know, he just looks nice.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And if he was a regular cast member, I would definitely know his name, but I don't.
I just remember that Pike calls him Bob. Like,
I love Pike.
Yeah, his hair, I'd forgotten about how incredible his hair is. Yeah, even my husband Andrew, he was just kind of popping in and out watching the show, but like, he's like, wow, that man has great hair. And I'm like, yeah, he sure does.
And Anson Mount, I've said it before on the pod, Anson Mount in person, in real life, also has fucking amazing hair.
Which I'm just like, I don't know how you achieve that hair in real life. That is something else. That's some magic hair right there.
It's smaller in real life. It's not as big.
I was going to say, that's a very, the look that Pike has is a very, not something you could probably pull off in real life kind of look.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a hairstylist did this kind of look. Yeah,
it's very exaggerated.
But his hair is still perfect in real life, it's just smaller.
Good job, Anson Mount. Good job with your hair.
I love him so much. So much happens in this episode that
Nurse Chapel. I fucking love Nurse Chapel. Okay, and who is like the character with her? I remember this person.
Ortegas. That's Ortegas.
That's Ortegas. Okay, and does Ortegas use she, her pronouns, they, them pronouns? Do we know? Does it?
I believe she, her. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was brought up.
If I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's she, her.
Okay, cool. I love her. Do her and Nurse Chapel have a thing at some point? Because they better fucking...
I don't think so, and it's devastating.
Are you kidding me?
But I hope to God. I hope to God there are fanfics about those two characters.
I just don't understand how they could not be in a relationship. There are the chemistry between them.
I know. It's so funny because the whole time Nurse Chapel is like, I have commitment issues. Maybe I have a crush on Spock. And I'm just like, Ortegas is right there.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they're giving each other, like, the eyes, like, the whole time. And it's like, they're not just friends. 1,000% they're not just friends. Like, are you kidding me? She's going on about, oh, I could commit if it's, like, the right guy. And in my head, I'm like, or the right girl.
Well, did you hear the line that confirms that Nurse Chapel is queer?
Oh yeah, because she mentioned she's like that woman on that other planet or something, yeah, like
that one and Angelius and yeah, whatever.
And I was like, oh, of course she has bi energy. Yeah, 1,000%. Okay. And so I'm like, so why the fuck is she not with Ortegas?
I don't know. I've been wondering that probably since this episode, honestly, because I love them together. I want them to be together.
I love their energy.
Yeah.
I feel like they complement each other very well in the little bit of the show that I've seen.
And maybe it's just because I'm a queer woman who's like dating somebody that I'm becoming best friends with, but I'm like, just be best friends and then date. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I'm here for it.
You're married to your best friend.
Oh, I know. I am.
Like, come on. Take this to Nurse Chapel. Let's do it.
Come on. Get together. Come on, writers. If this show's still going on, right?
Yes.
Okay, writers, yes, we're shouting out. We're asking for you, please write Nurse Chapel and Ortegas into a relationship.
Honestly,
like I think they would make a lot of people very, very happy.
Oh hell yeah! With the amount of non-queer,
the only ones shipping this.
Oh, I would very, you know, I'll do some research for you tonight. I'll look into fan fiction for you. I'll see just how many people.
Yeah, because I would be shocked if this is not a common thing.
Oh my God.
No, other pairings not romantic pairings, but okay, who is the woman with the yellow dress and the high, like, braided bun? What is her name?
That's number one.
Okay. Hey, I couldn't remember. And then she's running around with La'on. Yes, thank you.
You loved her in the last episode we watched her, because I remember, because you were like, the braided ponytail woman. I love her.
Yep. Yeah. She was hilarious. And they're like, was it Where Fun Goes to Die or something? They have this, like,
Where Fun Goes to Die is the nickname.
Like, that's so awful. But I love how they just proceed on these little hijinks throughout the ship. It's so funny and so wholesome.
That's one of my favorite parts of the entire episode, is just seeing Una and La'on, like, run around and do all of these things. But one of my favorite parts is, mm-hmm, before they decide to do Enterprise Bingo,
the interrogation.
Like, what?
Are you talking about the interrogation of the ensigns?
Right. Yes, I love the interrogation, but right before that, they're like walking and they're like they're such nerds about space. Yeah, and they're literally like
funny.
She's like, I was looking forward to, like, redoing the duty rosters, and she's like, I was looking forward to this. And it's like, it's like the nerdiest, most wholesome thing. Like, they're both just really excited about their jobs.
Like, it was so funny.
And then it's like, and then, like, the security alarm went off because of the ensigns. I mean, we don't know it's the ensigns yet, but it goes off. And so they're like, she's like, La'on's like, oh, where's backup? And Una's like, I'm your backup. And then La'on's like, who said you're not fun? And I just am like, you guys are the nerdiest, most, like, goody two shoes, like, so, like, they just love their job.
Honestly, that reminded me of back at in undergrad when we used to work at the gym. I'm not gonna lie. Okay, maybe it wasn't this way for you, but I loved doing some of those things that we had to do for work.
Honestly, I kind of miss it sometimes. I'm not gonna
lie. It was way simpler times. I enjoyed it. For our listeners, Taylor and I met at the gym, and then we had a lot of, like, what was it? It wasn't like they weren't overnight shifts at that point yet. I think they maybe they were transitioning to overnight shifts, but because we did work a couple of those together.
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh,
God.
That's how we being friends, I think, is working.
It was.
The roommates.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, went through shit together and...
As you do in college.
As you do in college, and yeah, and then here we are. Going through shit just a different way.
Jesus.
Life is just one long, you know, experience of going through shit through in, you know, different places at different times in different ways.
So true.
But then sometimes there's good shit, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes it's a long time before you get some good shit. Yeah. Again, a ringing endorsement for therapy.
You were saying
what I was saying. Yes, they're the little back to what the actual subject of this podcast is.
This is a Star Trek podcast, guys.
Yeah, this is a Star Trek. But yeah, I felt like number one and on were like, I was like, it gave me vibes of, you know, trolling around the John Wooden Center.
That is so true. That is so true. Cleaning on equipment, you know, together and just, yep, like
dealing with patrons.
Oh my God. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love that interaction with them because it's so good at like establishing character and relationship.
Oh yeah.
Who those two women are.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them for it so much.
Yeah. It was a solid vibe to have going throughout the episode. Also, okay.
Yeah.
The fly fishing hat on
I love that man. Yes.
I was like, oh my God, this guy in his fishing hat.
He's so precious.
It really was so cute though. He's just, all he wants to do is fish.
Mm-hmm.
This poor doctor. He's exhausted.
I mean, flagship of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Big job.
It is. He deserves to just go fishing.
And he did. He did. He had to come back and help switch bodies.
Yeah, I know. I love that. Oh, okay. That's what we need to talk about. The whole... when they sit there and they do the little hand gestures with all the candles around. When I saw the candles, I was like, first, this is a fire hazard. Number two...
I would imagine that at this point in time, it's not a fire hazard because they've figured out a way.
Yeah,
I would hope. Like, I know that, like, when ships get destroyed and stuff, like, in Star Trek, like, there's definitely fire. But I hope that would be because the internal workings that are supposed to prevent that have been destroyed at that point, so then it catches fire. Like, I don't think that it was actually a fire hazard.
Yeah, I was very concerned because I was like, what if one of those tips over?
I'm convinced that they have technology that's better than that.
But then all of the candles go out and they switch their little minds and then all of a sudden it doesn't work. And
it's like Freaky Friday.
It's hilarious. I was dying. I'm like, of course this is what happens. Like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because even when he first proposes the idea of, I forget what they called it.
They called it a Vulcan soul sharing.
That's what it is. The soul sharing. Right as he said that, before they got, I was like, something's going to go wrong because he's half human. I think that's what did it.
That's what I assume as well.
Because he's half human. And
yeah,
so,
they never talk about it, but that's what I've always thought, like watching this episode.
And so I was like, something's going to go wrong and then he's going to have to, like, they're going to get stuck and he's going to have to literally walk in her shoes and she's going to have to literally walk in his shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a classic trope.
It's like Freaky Friday does that. This really bad Christmas movie that I watched this year did that.
What?
Other stuff has done it. I just am not able to think of them right now. But
no, so it is, like, very common.
Yeah, it's like a common thing and right of you to assume that.
Yeah, it was very, very entertaining. And then
of course Pike walks in.
And Pike is like, I couldn't tell the difference between you two.
I know. He was like Captain Pike is just a little guy who's just like, He's just a silly little guy, and he walks in, and T'Pring is like, I'm sure you've noticed by our different mannerisms yes. by now. And he's like, yeah, totally. Yeah,
totally.
Fucking Vulcans. There's nothing to tell apart.
I know. I like, dare I say it, Pike is kind of a himbo.
Yeah. We've said it before.
Oh, we have? Okay, good. We probably said that last episode.
He is. I love him.
He's such a sweetheart. Oh my god. And when he stands up for Spock in the negotiations, well, he's standing up technically, I guess, for T'Pring, but he is standing up for Spock.
I think he's standing up for Spock to
T'Pring. Oh no, to T'Pring. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's what
like,
that
he's
is.
He's standing up like for the Rongovians or whatever, but he's also very much speaking to T'Pring.
Yeah. It's like, hey, your man be out here doing hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I loved him. He's also okay. His little jacket thing, his uniform is green. Is that what yellow is in this universe?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. The colors for the uniforms, I've looked up for the 90s ones because those are pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I have not put in the research to figure out the uniform colors of
Strange New Worlds.
Of Strange New Worlds and the original series because it's different. Mm-hmm. But from what I gather, the mm-hmm. captains can wear green and yellow.
Okay.
But you know what? I really should, because I know so much about the ones that happened in the 90s and all that. Mm-hmm. I should look up the uniform colors, because I've been curious, but I've always just been like, I don't know. They're just weird. Moving on.
But yeah, no, he like walks in his little like, it's like a little wrap green coat jacket. I love it. It looks so comfortable, honestly.
It does.
But yeah, it's a cute little look. He looks so fun. Like, he's having just a great time. But yeah, I love the green jacket. What else happens?
The Rongovians are only going to speak to Spock.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the fuck is that about? What a bunch of rude asses.
They're just trying to watch out for themselves.
Yeah, I know, but still.
And
they're just like, nah, fuck this guy. We don't want to talk to the captain.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm also trying to get background on like what's going on. Like, why are they trying to form this alliance?
So from what I gathered just based on this episode, so this Strange New Worlds happens not that long after the Klingon War is over. So there's like a war with the Klingons prior to this.
The Federation and the Klingons.
Yeah. The Klingons and the Federation don't become like buddy buddy until much later in the universe. And so they're like, the war is over. They're recovering from the war. They're still not allies with the Klingons at all. Mm-hmm. They're still like very wary of them. And it sounded like the Rongovians have a like key area of space under their control. And they're trying to form an alliance with them so that other people won't form an alliance, so that the Klingons won't form an alliance and have control over this like key aspect of space. It's like your typical like war stuff happens like on Earth.
It's like they would rather be joined up with the Federation than with someone else.
Well, the Federation wants to be joined with them.
Federation wants to join with them. Okay.
Yeah, so that, or like they want to like be, the Federation wants to be allies with them so that the Federation has access to that area of space. Okay. And so the Klingons don't.
For some reason, throughout this episode, I have no idea why, but for some reason I thought that the Rongovians were seeking out the Federation to ally with.
It was more like the Rongovians were being approached by multiple groups of different people. So they had already talked to, like, I think they had already, I don't know if they'd talked to the Klingons yet, but they already talked to the Tellarites and, like, a couple
That's the video that they're showing where they're, like, berating the guy in the cell. I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah, so One thing that I really liked about this episode that I didn't... I mean, so Star Trek episodes often have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, my brain isn't always necessarily like, oh, what's the theme of this episode? It's usually just like, let's have a good time and talk about it, you know? But, and this probably is because right now I'm in a script interpretation class and a scene study class where my professors are like, what's the theme? What is the theme of your play that you're performing, and how does what your characters want have to feed into it? And so towards the end of the episode, after we see all of the negotiation stuff and how the Rongovians are reflecting back exactly what they're getting from the other species, Pike has that long speech at the end where he's basically,
I love that, by the way.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Like, he has this speech about how they shouldn't join with them because they're going to be in way more trouble if they do. And it's super duper risky and all of this stuff. And then they leave.
Yeah.
And then the guy, Bob, is like, the fuck was that?
Bob's like, dude, what the hell? You just completely undermined us.
And Pike is saying how, like, they just want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that the entire theme of this fucking episode was radical empathy, what like Pike was talking about. But not just
what happens with, and what happens with, you know, Spock and T'Pring.
Exactly. It's not just the Rongovians and the Federation. That's a big part of it, but it's also T'Pring and Spock. But it's also fucking Una.
Yep.
And La'an trying to understand
the ensigns.
The ensigns. It's also
There's Chapel.
Trying to understand all of these crushes or flings that she's had that want something more serious. And so it's like, it was such an interesting moment to see this through line of with every single story. Because I don't know that that always happens in every single Star Trek episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start paying more attention to that just because of the classes I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But it was so fun to see that and be like, oh, that's the theme.
Yeah, no, it was. It was very, like, cleverly, like, woven throughout kind of all of the, all of the characters. It was all kind of this, you know, putting themselves in other people's shoes kind of experience. And, oh my God. And I also love when Nurse Chapel and Spock have that little moment, like in the restaurant, and they're just like talking. I was like, this is just like the sweetest thing. Oh my God. And then the punch to bring, well, it's actually, you know, it's actually Spock, but when he punches, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know really his background, but it's like, they're basically trying to like bring him in. Imprison, but they're trying to like reform him.
So like T'Pring's job is to take like Vulcan criminals who are like going away from the path of logic and like rehabilitate them so that they'll like come back to logic or whatever.
Okay.
So this is just like, I guess, one of the really big dangerous guys that's like out there that they need to get back.
He just punches him. Well, Spock punches him. Like, it's incredible.
And I love that T'Pring, like, she's like,
oh, like, yeah, she's like, knowing him, that was the most logical thing
to do.
I'm like, that's incredible. Oh, gosh.
Which is so cute, because it's like, I don't know, I feel like Vulcans are often painted as completely emotionless and, like, full of logic and, like, but it was, like, kind of fun to just see her be like, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
She's like, I wouldn't have done it, but I support that you did.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, thanks for doing it. Because, like, honestly,
Because that's, like, one of the values of Spock being half-human is that he has the ability to be in full control of his emotions at all times. But it's, like, sometimes...
Sometimes
you just gotta punch a guy.
That's okay. Honestly, Yeah, like, I don't condone violence, but, like, also sometimes, yeah, like you said, sometimes you just gotta punch a guy.
Sometimes it's logical. It's the logical thing to do.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that was great, though. And I'm trying to think, okay, what else happens this episode?
This episode, honestly, was really hard to write notes on. Because so much happens. They changed, like, the scene, like, every 5 fucking seconds. Like, yeah. If you look at my notes, it's literally, like, sick bay, transporter room, box quarters, bar, hallway, Spock's quarters again. Like, it's all over the place.
Also, can we talk about Pike's? Is it, like, his house or something? Because
those are just his quarters.
Okay, those are just his quarters on the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Okay, dude, I love it. I don't know why. For some reason, it gives, like, single bachelor, but, like, someone who actually likes to design.
That's honestly, I love the interior design just on this version of the Enterprise, like, a lot. Like,
it's really good.
Like, I would totally want to live in one of these quarters. Mm-hmm. And you get to see Captain Pike's quarters a few times because he hosts little parties sometimes, and he likes to cook. So he'll cook food for, like, his senior officers.
He's a host. He likes to host people. Oh, such wholesome vibes. What a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Captain Pike, I would.
I don't know if that's been said on this podcast, but I feel like it did. It happened last episode too.
Probably. And if it has.
But last episode of Strange New Worlds. Yeah. Like. Yeah.
Captain Pike, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, back to the quarters, though. That little scene right when before T'Pring comes in for the first time, when mm-hmm. Spock adjusts, I think they're like vases or like glasses or something.
Yeah.
He like adjusts them both, and then she comes in, she looks at it, like, is like, what's happening here? And then adjusts them back.
That must be so hard for Spock I feel like T'Pring is a recurring character in the future of Star Trek, like in the original series. Like, I'm pretty sure something might happen with T'Pring in the original series, and I just don't know about it. Okay. And if you're a listener and you know, I love this for you to be able to listen to this and be like, yeah, bitch, duh. But I think that must be really hard for him to, like, handle both of those sides of himself and to not feel adequate. It's very similar. I mean, I don't have personal experience with this at all, nor do you, mm-hmm. but people that have, like, two parents that are from different cultures.
It's really
difficult.
A lot, like, throughout this episode, I was like, intersectionality, mm-hmm. like people that, especially I feel like people that belong to different, like, racial or ethnic backgrounds
mm-hmm.
that maybe, and they don't even necessarily have to have conflict, but like that's a hard thing to do, especially if you have, like, a solid tie. Like you said, if one parent is from one, you know, both parents are from different backgrounds, like, that's got to be a hard thing to do, is to feel like you're fully a part of one, but also you're not technically,
groups. I love the way that Star Trek uses this kind of character like Spock that's half human, half Vulcan, but other characters that are half human, half fill in the blank of, like, whatever alien species, because it does point to the issues that, and this is why I love sci-fi, because you can take really human issues and make them separate enough that people will actually look at them who don't belong to that kind of experience.
Yeah.
So they'll take a half human, half Vulcan and be able to pseudo represent, you know, people that have parents from different backgrounds like that and deal with that every day, and get people who don't experience that to be like, oh, that must be really difficult. So I love that they do that. I really, really do.
That's one of those, like, I feel like that has kind of come up in every episode that you've had me watch so far. I mean, and obviously I'm sure it's most of Star Trek is like, it, like you said, like, I love that it really is a mirror to society in that, you know, you're able to kind of see things through an objective lens that we don't usually, like, we typically, I feel like, don't have the ability to view things objectively in, like, the world around us as we experience it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do really love that. And I thought it was really cool. It's like, you can be, I think, I don't know if Pike says it, or I think he's maybe saying it, but like, or maybe it's, I don't remember. I don't remember who says it, but someone says at some point, like, the Federation allows me to be both and Spock doesn't, says that, yeah, and doesn't force me to be one or the other.
Yeah.
You know,
which is exactly like how it should be. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, like, characters like B'Elanna Torres and Voyager deal with a similar thing. Not so much Deanna Troi, although she is half human, half Betazoid. It's just different. It's different, but I like that Star Trek can put that lens up for people who wouldn't necessarily think about that. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, Star Trek. Because
it's just, I feel like, I mean, just like the theme of this episode, having that radical empathy for people who are dealing with not fitting into the box that other people say they should fit into.
Yeah.
And like, because even Spock is like scared, like in a way, scared to say to T'Pring, hey, I feel like you see me as human and not Vulcan enough. Yeah. Like he's not able to say that until an entire episode of Hijinks where they're living in each other's shoes and they're forced to say it because they know at that point. Because even though they got stuck at each other's like bodies, the soul thing still worked. So she knows what he thinks at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even just the fact that he's like having this internal battle, the fact that he's even having this nightmare at the beginning, like that whole, like you can tell he feels like he has to choose. And you know, again, as I don't know that I've necessarily like lived through that experience of feeling like I have to choose between two like solid identities. Like, I don't think that, I mean, that's definitely not something that I've had to experience, but for people that do, like, I think it's important to like recognize that you're, I don't know, like it's unique. It's a unique experience to be able to have access to two different worldviews and two different experiences and have that. And as hard as it is, like, people shouldn't have to choose. Like, they that has value.
I think this episode's point to the fact that it's not, if Spock was living in a void, he wouldn't have to choose.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not Spock feeling like he has to choose just because Spock feels that way. It's Spock feels that way because other external forces have made them feel that way. And I feel like, I mean, that's the same exact thing with people, with humans.
Again, if we bring it back to like Spock, like Vulcans, I can understand why they're wary of him being half human, but it's also like interesting to see how Spock enhances Vulcan society by being half human.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings value to human society because he's half Vulcan, you know? It's like the value of being a part of two different groups also enhances those two groups separately. I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
No, it does. I think I'm an idealist.
Yeah.
And I'm not naive, but I do have hope in people. And I want us to get to a point as a society where we are able to just be.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
I'm with you there. I am 100%.
Well, it ties back into the radical empathy theme of the episode. It's just if we're able to see other people's perspectives, like, we're so much better for it. Like, I think that's why the Rongovians decide
to
join with the Federation and be allies with them, because Captain Pike is like, yeah, no, if I was in your shoes, I might not want to do this either.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not necessarily going to be great, and it's going to be hard. So if you didn't do it, I'd understand. And that's all that they wanted was somebody to, like, what did he say? To take their perspective and,
yeah,
to, like, acknowledge,
yeah, to see
where
them.
They were coming from. And I think that's, I mean, that's what we should do as people.
Yeah, I mean, and absolutely.
We don't, and we need media to teach us to do that, is sad, but also beneficial to be able to see that kind of content.
Yeah. It takes, like, the personal dynamic out of it that I think, or the personal bias. Exactly.
Why I'm sci-fi, because it separates you enough from the point.
Yeah.
To be able to see it in a more objective way.
Yeah, you have to step away from the point to get the point.
Which is so silly, but guess what? So we're fucking humans. We're stupid.
Exactly. That's the theme of this episode.
That need to be handheld to be good people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't change my mind about that.
To bring it back to something funny slash, I kind of have a question about larger Star Trek stuff. The okay, so the ship that the Rongovians have, this, like, beautiful gold ship with this gold sail, I don't know what the significance is, because I mean, it obviously has some significance, because when La'an and Uma are on the ship on the Enterprise carving their names, they, like, see it pass. And the way it seems is that it's, like, some rare thing to see.
I think it's just pretty.
Okay.
Like, they mentioned at the beginning of the episode that the Rongovians brought this ship and that they only used that specific type of ship for ceremonial purposes.
It's like a soul or something? It's like, I don't know what they called
it. It's like a solar sail. So it's like a sail ship. Or it's like a... What's a sailboat.
A sail ship?
I forgot what it was called. It's like a sailboat.
Yeah. But
a ship in space that uses, like, solar winds, I guess.
It was really pretty, though.
Yeah, and so I think, I honestly, honest to God, I think they're just like, holy shit,
oh, it's pretty. We're
on the outside of the fucking Enterprise with a force field in space watching this really cool ship. Like, I think they're just, and maybe they're marveling at the fact that their flag is the one flying, and so they know that they succeeded.
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
But... Honestly, I probably wouldn't even pay attention to that either if I was standing on the outside of a spaceship and was just like, the fuck?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But no, I was gonna, I just was curious about that. But I fucking love that spaceship. I want one. Honestly, it's beautiful.
It is. There's another, should we, maybe we'll watch that episode.
Yeah, don't spoil anything in case we watch them.
Okay, I won't. I won't do it. Any last thoughts?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. We just got to do my favorite character.
Yeah. This week, what was your favorite character?
This one's actually a tough one.
There are a lot of characters, and they jumped in and out like crazy.
Yeah, we'll do, like, as far as, like, new appearances, I'll give like a, not a participation trophy, but I'm going to give, like, an award for new, like, limited appearance episodes. Yeah, Bob, 1000% gets a limited appearance. Congratulations. I love you, my guy. Great, great look. Very sexy. I love your little bald head, your beard. His look is great. I don't know. He just looks like he's in control of things. But my actual favorite character for the, I think, is going to have to be Nurse Chapel. I love her.
Still? Not even Pike?
Pike is a very close second. He really is a very close second. But I don't know why.
My favorite character.
Nurse Chapel just, like, I don't know, man. I love her. I think she's hot as shit.
I know you do.
She really is. She's got a hilarious vibe. She's like, committed to people, but, like, very not committed to people in relationships. And, like, but you can tell she just has such a good, like, wholesome vibe, but she's also sassy, but she's also, like, I don't know. I just love her.
Not describe her as wholesome.
Wholesome in like a, how do I explain? Not wholesome in the way that Pike is wholesome. Like, she's okay. Like, I feel like I could rely on her, even though she's like shifty in romantic relationships. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So she's a hot mess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Nurse Chapel's a hot mess, but like, I also know if shit hits the fan, she's gonna like.
No. We all have those friends that they're a hot mess, but you know they'll be there for you when you need them. Yes, I am referring to
that's
you.
That's me. Now. That's literally me. Maybe that's why I like her so much.
Maybe that might be.
Am I Nurse Chapel? Except I got married and I'm in a committed relationship, so I figured that part out, I guess.
A little different.
But
similar but different.
Similar. Different. Same, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love that. I love that lady. She's the fucking best.
She is pretty great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was super fun. I am so excited. Elizabeth, you don't understand how excited I am for next week's episode that we're going to film.
Okay, I'm excited as usual because
you guys, the listeners are going to be so excited. Okay.
Well, you can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod. And if you want to email us, please email us for whatever reason, with anything, just email us. It's bridesofchaotica@gmail.com.
Tune in next week to Brides of Chaotica to find out which episode I'm going to force Elizabeth to watch next. She's gonna love it. All right.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
Oh, fuck. I don't have the script up.
Oh, goddamn, Elizabeth.
I'm so sorry. One second. Oh, no.